You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I am one of the lovely co-hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast. I lied. I did say Tony was going to be on today's podcast. He is not. Scheduling mishap on my part, all on my end. Shocker, I was wrong. He'll be back on Friday with a review of the Raptors game and a preview of the Wizards game. But for today, you got me again on another solo show. And the first thing I want to start with is to talk about the buzz around the league. Or maybe it's just NBA Twitter. Maybe it's just my Twitter feed. But there's been this slow buzz. The Pacers don't get enough credit for what's going on. Rachel Nichols did a great segment on The Jump, opening segment about the Pacers and how they aren't talked about, but how they're kind of the gritty team of the NBA that wins the way that a lot of teams don't. But honestly, I don't know about what you guys think out there as Pacer fans. Maybe tweet at the show. You can tweet us at Locked On Pacers. But the guy from Indianapolis, I like when the Pacers aren't talked about nationally. I think it's a badge to wear, an honor to wear it as this team is underrated, nobody believes in us, that kind of thing. I don't like when the team is hyped up, people are blowing smoke up their butt, all that stuff. It's just not fun, I think. I think it's more fun when this team is an underdog. There's only two times I've been a Pacer fan when the Pacers have really been sort of like a favorite. People thought they could win a championship, and that was 13-14, kind of, where they're kicking when they started off 17-1, and there was all this talk, could they beat the Heat? And then the 03-04, 05 kind of seasons where they had those awesome teams that won 60 games and probably should have won a championship. And both times, obviously, they flamed out and nothing happened. I think it's better when the Pacers aren't talked about because it just adds a dynamic to the way they play. I think they're a better team when they're overlooked because they play harder. I've seen a little bit with the early Pacer teams in the 2010, 10s, 11, where people thought, oh, this team is, who was on this team? They don't have any superstar, and they really competed with the Heat for two straight seasons. And so that's why I think this team is sort of reminds me of really that 2012-13 Pacer team that was so underrated, nobody thought can compete, and really kind of almost really beat the Heat in a six loss in six games. We're up 2-1, had a chance to go up 3-1. And I think this team has some similarities to that team, and I think it's better when they're under the radar because the players have this chip on the shoulder. It brings guys together. It unites them. I think that's why we see really good chemistry with this Pacer team is because they're all kind of in this bunker mentality. They're in it together. It's like nobody believes us, everybody against us. It's Indiana together. Nobody else outside our little ecosystem matters because it's what we can prove on the court. And that's why I think all this national media stuff, it's fun to see that people talked about national media, but they'll get their due. If they win a playoff series, they'll be talked about as this team is how do they do it. At the end of the year, if they win close to 450 games, Nate McMillan will be a top three coach of the year maybe. Victor Oladipo will win most improved player. Kevin Pritchard will win executive of the year. All that stuff. So I wouldn't worry about it if I'm a Pacer fan out there. I know you guys shouldn't be worried about it because I really like when this team is the underdog. I like cheering for the underdog. Now that I got that off my chest, let's move on to a Raptors preview for today's game. This podcast is being recorded on Wednesday afternoon, but you're listening, it's going to be posted on a Thursday. And tonight the Pacers will take on the Toronto Raptors, the number one team in the Eastern Conference, the 50-17 Raptors, who they've already played twice. They've split it so far in the season series, and they'll play the Raptors two times in the next, I think, over about 2 weeks, give or take. Some first things to watch in the game are some injuries. Domantas Sabonis has already been ruled out with his ankle injury. You know, I don't know how severe his ankle injury is. I think there's will be more reports on it, but my guess is he'll be out at least a week. It looked pretty painful during the 76ers game, but you never know until the swelling comes down, which had happened about by Thursday. So I think when Nate McMillan talks about it on Thursday, we'll get more of a clue of how his injury is looking. Another player to watch in the Pacers is Devin Booker. He has an ankle injury. He played through it against the 76ers end of the game. He's listed as questionable. I can't tell if he's going to play or not. If he played the end of the 76ers game, he will. But also with ankles, it's all about the swelling and stuff like that. And then a third ankle injury to a non-Pacer this time. The Raptors will be without OG Anunoby probably. He's missed six straight games. I would highly doubt he plays against them. He's been doubtful for give or take 2 weeks already. He was doubtful on their Tuesday matchup against the Brooklyn Nets. My guess he doesn't play. In his place will be Norman Powell. He's been a two-starter against the Nets last time, and he's been starting in OG Anunoby's place. So we won't see the IU product. Some stats on the Raptors. They're the only team in the NBA top five in both offensive rating and defensive rating. They've also won 9 in a row. They are now 4 games ahead of the Celtics for the first overall seed. My guess is they're going to get the first overall seed in the Eastern Conference. The question really for them is, can they get more wins than the Warriors? The Warriors have 51 wins. The Raptors have 50. It's going to be a close one to the end. The Warriors do have some injuries, so that's kind of to look for the Raptors. Is if they can pass the Warriors record, they could have home court advantage in the NBA Finals if they get there and the Warriors do like people expect. The differences in the 2 games the Pacers played against the Raptors, mainly the first one was Lance Stephenson. He played incredible in the fourth quarter. He went 5-7-3 in that fourth quarter. He basically dragged the Pacers back into that game and won it for them. Second game, Lance was not so good. He was a minus 10. So that was the real difference in the game, I thought. Besides that, you know, Vic had a little better game the second time than the first time, but everything here was on the margins. Really, I thought Lance. And Lance really is the X factor against the Raptors because he seems to get under DeMar DeRozan's skin so much. We saw it in, I think it was now last year, he got under his skin when the Pacers played the Raptors in the regular season finale or one of the finales, and he was going too hard. Earlier in the Thanksgiving game, Stevenson basically bull rushed DeRozan and stole the ball but hit him in the knee pretty hard, and DeRozan was pretty angry about that one. They don't get along. It'd be interesting to watch. I don't know if Lance is anything up his sleeve for DeRozan. My guess is Lance won't be guarding DeRozan all the time, but maybe if DeRozan plays more minutes with the bench unit, you'll see Lance guarding him. Just something to watch for. And then a not-so-bad blood thing is the C.J. Miles and Corey Joseph. That was a trade this offseason. Miles is well-liked in Indiana. I don't imagine he'll get any animosity towards him. I don't think anybody's super mad at him. Won't get any boos in the banker's life. And then Joseph playing at his own team. Joseph will probably start as point guard. He has now started 3 games in a row since Darren Collison returned. Collison is still on a minutes restriction. Going to play probably 20 to 25 minutes still. I think he's been saying he's still on, his conditioning is still not like up to 100%. So that's why he hasn't been playing 30 plus minutes like he was before he got hurt. We'll see. You know, Joseph has been playing pretty well. The team's been playing pretty well with Collison as the backup point guard playing with the bench unit. So I'm not sure that could change. This could be the permanent thing where Joseph just plays with the starters. Who knows? I imagine this game though, Joseph starts, and that's where the first big thing comes up. And that is the Joseph and Oladipo guarding of DeRozan and Lowry. That's going to be the first match to really watch in this game because I wonder whether Joseph will guard DeRozan or Lowry, and that will be kind of the first thing to watch. My guess is they'll go straight up, so Joseph will guard Lowry, Oladipo will guard DeRozan. But who knows? If they decide to switch it up a little bit, decide to put Joseph on DeRozan, that could be interesting because it probably gives DeRozan the advantage over Joseph because he's a little bit bigger than him, and also probably gives Oladipo the advantage over Lowry. But if you flip it, you have basically Lowry going against a guy who used to be his backup in Joseph. DeRozan and Lowry combined for 40 points, 12 assists, and 10 rebounds per game. That's probably one of the best duos in the NBA behind, you know, there's the Durant and Curry. But they're really a really good duo. DeRozan puts up about 24 points a game. And it'd be interesting to watch is the DeRozan versus Oladipo matchup. Oladipo, the first time they played, only had 21 points. He had 36 the second time. Since then, they both played in the All-Star game together. Just something to watch. Oladipo seems to bring out his best against the best guards in the Eastern Conference. He plays really good against Kyrie, against Bradley Beal already. So maybe he has another 30-point game up his sleeve for DeRozan to sort of prove that he can go toe-to-toe with him. You know, anybody guesses as good as mine, but I think Depot will have a really good game. He seems to, like I said, always had good games against DeRozan and other top guards. Probably another 30-point game, but that might not be the difference in the game. I think the real difference in the game is going to be the Raptors bench. Raptors' bench is probably the best bench in the NBA. So it's 6th in scoring. It has the top net rating. It's the third best offensive bench and the number one defensive bench. It's going to be a little bit light because OG Anunoby is not playing, forcing Norman Powell into the starting lineup. But the 4 guys they normally run are Fred VanVleet, CJ Miles, Siakam, and Jakob Poeltl. Pacers will be without Domantas Sabonis. I always like to watch the Poeltl-Sabonis matchup because they played each other in the NCAA tournament about 3 years ago, and that was like a huge matchup because both those guys were going to go top 10. It was who's the better center. Sabonis just whipped his butt up and down the court, which is also fun to watch. But that's something just to look for is, you know, Poeltl, the Pacers will be kind of weak at the backup center spot. They'll probably have to play Booker and Thaddeus Young and maybe a little bit of Al Jefferson in the backup spots at center, power forward. So Poeltl might have an advantage. And obviously, I think the real matchup to watch is the CJ Miles of who is going to guard him? Is it going to be Robinson or is it going to be Stevenson? Stevenson and Miles, obviously former teammates for a very little bit, and same with Robinson, but Robinson and Miles, teammates for a longer period of time, I think almost two seasons, give or take. Just something to watch to see if maybe Miles knows something of how to beat Robinson on defense, or Robinson knows how to stop Miles a certain way, how to read the screens better. Just something to look for on that matchup. But the bench for the Raptors is really good, and the Pacers are going to already be down one with their bench guys, so I wonder how much we'll see Oladipo play with the bench, or Thaddeus Young, like I was saying. And if Booker doesn't play, that's going to be a huge X factor in this game, because it means that we'll have to play out Jefferson and maybe even TJ Leaf. Knock on wood, that's not a good thing. And then also the Collison-Van Fleet matchup will be interesting to watch, because Collison, like I said, is really a starting level point guard. And Fleet has been incredible this year. I don't want to knock him down, but if Collison can really win that matchup, that might win the bench matchup for the Pacers. One more matchup to sort of look at is the Jonas Valanciunas and Miles Turner matchup. Jonas Valanciunas has played really well of late. He has four of his last six games been double-doubles, all six in double figures, but so has Turner. Turner in the last four games has two double-doubles. The two games he didn't have a double-double, he had 20-plus points. He obviously had the 25-point game against the 76ers. Turner has been really good, so I don't think there's any issues with that. The question really will be, can Turner, you know, not get taken to the glass too much or not be destroyed around the rim by Valanciunas, the same way that Embiid kind of beat Turner around the rim in some sense, where he was able to sort of get a step on Turner a lot of times and bully him to the lane. But I imagine that Turner, who has been playing really well of late, will probably bring his A game. You know, Valanciunas is a worse player, obviously, than Joel Embiid, so it's not like Turner hasn't played a guy of a caliber above Valanciunas. I mean, Turner played pretty well against Gobert earlier in the season, too, so I wouldn't be too worried about Turner getting it taken to him. He's been playing really well of late, you know, so there's not too much of a worry there. But, you know, in the first two matchups, the Pacers really held Valanciunas in check, and since then he's been playing a lot better. So that's really just something to watch, because if Valanciunas has a really good game, it does not bode well for the Pacers. It probably means they're going to lose this game, but hopefully not. If I had to put a score prediction, I guess it's going to be a close one, but I think the Pacers pull it out because it is a home game. And it will actually give them, they'll now have winning series against, or win or 500 or better against, I think, six out of the seven Eastern Conference playoff teams. So what I mean by that is, if they win against the Raptors, they'll have a 2-1 lead in the series. They play them again, so they can't be worse than 2-2. They have already tied Boston at 2-2, beat Cleveland at 3-1, beat Milwaukee, or lead Milwaukee 2-1, lead tie with the Wizards 1-1, lead the 76ers 2-1, but are 1-2 to the Miami Heat. But if they beat the Heat, the Wizards, the Sixers, and they don't play Sixers again, sorry, the Wizards, the Heat, and the Bucks again, they'll have a 500 or better record against all seven playoff teams, which is a good translation to playoff success, because it means they're not just beating the bad teams. They've lost some bad teams, actually, to be honest. They've lost to Dallas, they lost to Atlanta, so they've lost to bad teams and lost to Chicago. But it means they're beating the good teams in the East, which means they will have no trouble against them in the playoffs, probably. I think, like I said earlier in this podcast, the Pacers are still going to be down in the playoffs. They're going to be underdogs in the playoffs. But ultimately, I think they're going to win this playoff series, to be honest. I think as long as they don't play Cleveland in the first round, I think LeBron James is too hard to beat. They have a legitimate shot to win a playoff series in the first round. And if they get a home court advantage, I think they will 100% win a playoff series, because they are a really good home team. The Lance factor at home is a whole other thing. I do like them, so to do that, and I think part of that is winning against the Raptors on Thursday, which I think they will do. I think they'll pull it out by about 5 points. I think it'll be another close game late. It'll come down to Oladipo. Isolation plays, can't get to the rim. You know, what game hasn't recently come down to those kind of plays? And I think also coming down to Turner making a defensive play like he always does. I imagine DeRozan will have the ball in his hands, and it will either be Oladipo guarding him or Joseph guarding him in some kind of play where he tries to pull up or he goes to the rim and Turner can stop him. Just a wild guess. If I end up being right, it's going to look really good in hindsight. If I'm wrong, to what it is, I'm wrong all the time, like I said earlier in the podcast. Look forward to our podcast on Friday. Tony will be back with a preview, like I said, of the weekend game and review of the Raptors game. As always, you can follow our podcast at Locked On Pacers on Twitter. You can follow me at FreedmanAdam55. As always, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. We are on Spotify. Hit the like button, leave comments, reviews, tweet at us your reviews of this podcast, letting us know what you like, what you don't like. We like to accommodate our listeners very well. That's been it for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. Have a great rest of your day. You were the nurse at the door, but you're not home. You spent your time on the floor, but you don't.